You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne-Marie Cross.
So welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 277, brought to you by Podcasting with Purpose, helping you to stand out, be heard, and become an influential voice in your industry with a podcast. And I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross, the Podcasting Queen. My guest today says, we are a family that is ready to welcome you. Our role is to be their cheering squad in a tough period of their life. Now, joining me on today's show is Dominic Valestro. Dominic came to Christ at the age of 20, and as a Sicilian Catholic, this proved a challenge for his parents. Dominic's conversion was quite dramatic, and within 18 months, he was on staff at Campus Crusade and working as a full-time youth director for no pay, mind you, at his local Baptist church. Dominic and his wife were part of the Gloria Jean's franchise network for 7 years, and after selling their franchises, decided to commit themselves to working in Christian organization, which remains the case for today, even today. Now, Dominic's roles have been CEO, and he's been in the Christian conferencing sector and Christian early learning sector currently with Integra Care. There we go. Now, on today's show, Dominic is going to share, be true to who you are in Christ, wherever you're placed, either in secular environments or in Christian organizations. Both have their challenges. He's going to talk about don't chase the dollar or the title. It's so easy to base your sense of self-worth on the job you hold and the money you earn. And he's also going to talk about learn from the heart. Again, this should be an expression of your Christian faith. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for the privilege.
You are so very welcome. You've got such a diverse background of working in businesses in the corporate arena, and of course now very much involved in Christian organizations. And you say both have its challenges, but take us back to the time where you transitioned from corporate or from owning your own business and of course working to Christian organizations. What was the transition, or what prompted the transition for you, Dominic?
So basically, I look at my journey as in three parts. So the first part was as a Christian in the corporate world, working for places like Telstra and Westpac and Zurich Insurance. And so that was a challenge because quite often the motivation and the goals of those organisations could have been at odds with my personal motivations. And, you know, you need a particular type of person, and I take my hat off to those faithful Christians who work in the corporate sector, but there is a lot that they require of you. And I said to my wife that, you know, one day I will come home and I will not have a job because it's just the way that the corporate world works. So you run the gauntlet, and you're as good as your last meeting and you're as good as your last decision. So we prepared for that. And we looked for a while at a number of different alternatives, again, where we felt that we could express our Christian faith in a practical way. And so we, in looking at a number of different franchise models, we decided to go with Gloria Jean's. And we set up a number of all three stores. We opened up from scratch, and we saw that as a real opportunity to get to know the community and to offer a service based on biblical ethics, and we did so in employing our staff too. So we did that for a period that's quite intense. It's, you know, it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week commitment, and we did that for a season, and then we sold our businesses and felt that we'd accumulated quite a number of skills in our various careers, and we both decided that we would use those skills in the Christian non-profit sector.
Yes, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I think, you know, so many people can relate, I'm sure, to some of the stories and situations that you are going to share in a moment, and how for you now being able to use biblical principles, I guess, in moving forward. So share with us, being true to who you are in Christ, wherever you've been placed, either in secular environments or in Christian organisations, both have its challenges. How has being a Christian in your faith helped you go through these challenges?
Yeah, so I think that, it's a cliche, but God calls you wherever you are, whether it's in family, whether it's at, in a secular job or in a Christian role, both have challenges in, and I find actually the challenges working in a Christian organisation is a unique one. One in that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and therefore in God's eyes we are equal, and we have that privilege as brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes that's hard when you when you're in a work situation, to recognise that there's some lines that are crossed sometimes in that relationship, and so therefore, that's a challenge. And I think there's a challenge also in terms of your authenticity and making sure you're true to your values and your Christian faith. And I guess in a secular environment, the challenges are really where you get at the crossroads where you have to make a decision whether you feel that this is what God wants you to do or not. So whether that means being deceptive, whether that means cutting corners, whether that means participating in activities and choices that the corporate world does and choosing to opt out of those. So I think either way there's a challenge, and there's lots of biblical characters who have worked in both of those environments. So I think at the end of the day it's really about having a clear conscience, coming home, thinking that you've been faithful, and if you haven't, and if you've made a wrong decision, to actually then reflect on that and how you would do that better next time.
Yeah, fabulous. You mentioned there's a number of characters in the Bible that, I wonder, in situations where you were being challenged, your values were being challenged, are there particular characters in the Bible that often would come to mind? And if so, who were they?
Yeah, so I think Joseph particularly, in the situation that he was in, and he was being faithful, and you had the situation with Potiphar's wife, and that, how does that tend to happen in the corporate world? I mean, a lot of that obviously doesn't happen during work hours, but there's a lot of stuff that you could do on a social level where that could happen, and how people do their relationships in the corporate environment could be quite challenging for you as a Christian. I look at David, mainly because David was a leader, and so therefore I think the lesson I've learned from David is that it always amazes me that he was blind to his sin, and that how it took Nathan the prophet to actually make him realise that what he had done was wrong, and it offers baffles me as to how blind he was at the time, and to make sure that as a leader, particularly as a Christian, that I actually am not blind to my sins and blind to the things that I might do that actually people are aware of and that I'm not aware of.
Yeah. And if I recall correctly, of course, when Nathan did express to David what had gone on, and David realised what had happened, he was certainly very repent, he repented from that. And I think it's such a great reminder for all of us as leaders, whether we're in corporate or in our own business, if something is brought to our attention that we realise, you know what, from if we were to measure ourselves against the expectations that God has for us, and I have fallen short, and how many of us fall short each and every day, it's our reaction to that, isn't it? And I think to our team as well, we can say, you know what, I didn't make the right the choice. How have you found being a Christian and dealing with staff? Because, you know, there's certain ways that Jesus led which just was so admirable. How has that impacted and influenced you as a leader?
Yeah, so I guess there's different leaders that we follow and we study, and clearly there's some great business leaders out there. I like to spend time and reflect and look, explore Christian leaders who have done well, obviously in a business context, but particularly in a ministry context. They're people that I've found that have used Jesus as the model for leadership, and that is about how he treats how he's inclusive, how he treats people, how he works with people on the margins, how he takes, he sees potential in people that other people don't see potential in, speaking up for the defenceless, speaking up for people who don't have a voice, and particularly in the area that I'm in now, which the people that don't have a voice are young children. And so having advocating for them and advocating for them as young people who still are forming their personalities is a key thing for me. And it's how you treat your people around you, and particularly when you have to make some hard decisions, to make sure that you're actually doing what Jesus would believe you to do, wants you to do. And that's really, I know, again, it sounds like a cliche, but and Jesus was not a business leader, but his leadership of people, I think, is the main attribute that I would look at.
Yes. You know, so many principles and lessons that the Lord taught throughout his ministry here, I think, can absolutely be, held relevant, and we can use that in our business as well as a lot of situations. Now, you talk also, too, about not chasing the dollar or the title. And, yes, it is so easy to get caught up in that and have our self-worth be based on what we're achieving. So speak a little bit about this. I think this can be a huge insight for many.
Yeah, so I've learnt this through the corporate world. And I remember my first day at Westpac when I was being introduced to my office, and the person to the left of me and the person to the right of me and the person in the office behind me were all made redundant on the same day. And I thought, well, if this is a taste of what the corporate world is like, then I don't know how long I'm going to last in this sort of environment. And so I saw men particularly who had sacrificed a lot. Their families had moved houses a lot. They'd spent long hours chasing the money and chasing the title, and then to be told that their services were no longer warranted. And, you know, I saw a continuation of that in other organisations that I worked for in the corporate world. And there is so much that particularly I found that, and this doesn't discriminate between Christian men and non-Christian men, is that men in particular do like the title and they do like the salary. Mm-hmm. And it's very much, a trap, because that can get taken away from you. And you don't realise until it gets taken away from you what you've sacrificed. And sometimes that's your family. Sometimes that's your marriage. Sometimes that's your children. And so the midlife crisis is a real thing, particularly for men. And for Christian men, I think the challenge there is that they suddenly realise that when it's taken away from them, that they haven't based their identity and haven't based their self-esteem on a relationship with God as much as they would have liked to.
Yes.
Because once it's taken away from them, there's suddenly a void, I guess, that really Jesus should fill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that is a lesson that I've shared, and many of the guests have shared as well. You know, many of us are driven. We do have ambition, but it's being very mindful that, because that's knitted in us, you know, that is part of the character. But if we get it wrong by putting that ambition first before Christ. Mm-hmm. So were there situations that you had to go through and live through to be able to realize this lesson, and so that someone who may recognize some of the things leading up to that, that they may be in a season where they're putting ambition in that title first, what would be some insights that you would share with them?
Yeah, look, I think in hindsight, it would be good to have people around you who are honest with you. I guess it's hard in a work situation to have people that, again, who have the same values of you to give you a gentle rebuke or to remind you where maybe you're getting sucked in to all of this. To have friends around you that you meet, maybe, you know, spiritual friends or pastors or whoever around you. So that, I guess, is a checkpoint. And the checkpoint, unfortunately, the danger is that you don't realise this until it's actually happened and it's taken away from you. And if there's a way of knowing this before hand. The inevitability of a retrenchment or the inevitability of, you know, a company parting, parting with you is still potentially there, but I guess it's more about how you anticipate that and how you deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a lot of it is about just making sure that you're centered in your faith, and therefore I've seen people who are very godly spiritual men and they've coped with it really well, and that's a lesson to me, because it's clearly their journey and their walk with Christ has been such that when that has happened, and I've had to do that on a number of occasions myself, and then they actually thank you, you go, wow, you're a better Christian man than I am. And I think the secret is how you actually remain true to your faith and remain true to your identity in Christ rather than to your identity in your job.
Yeah, absolutely. If you think back to the times where you were going through some of these challenging crises and, you know, where you really did need to take a step back and revisit, you know, what you were basing your self-worth on, were there some things that you did differently? Because I know in business and even in the corporate arena, there are timetables and deadlines and lots of different people that require our attention. Then, of course, we have families and other commitments too. What is there something that you implemented to make sure that there was a balance but that you always left time and space for yourself to, you know, whether it would be reading the Bible or doing something that you were, you know, regularly spending time with God, because this is so important and we're encouraged to do that in the Bible as well.
Yeah, well, I think a regular devotional time and finding a time where that never gets interrupted. So I think for me and for most people, it's the morning. I find that what I did even when I was working in the corporate world, and I do that even in my role now, is that before my day starts, whether it's in the office or whether it's at home, just spending that time over God's word. I'm a great journaler, so I journal pretty much each day, and I've done that for a number of years, and it's also great to reflect back on the same day last year and 2 years and 3 years and to see whether you've actually progressed in a certain area of your life. So that's quite important. I made a conscious decision beforehand, and maybe this is something where you look at your life and think, how long can I last in a corporate world where I'm going to continue to have challenges? I made a deliberate decision that when my son turned 10, that I would leave the corporate world regardless of where I was in the corporate world. And the reason I did that is because I know that particularly boys of 10 or 11 years of age, they need their dads around them in order to be, you know, good, godly, you know, it's not a guarantee, but I felt that it was really important to do that. And that was the trigger for me, for Linda and I to go into the Gloria Jeans franchise system, because it gave us the flexibility to spend time with our children, particularly with my boy, and go to their school concerts and have that flexibility as a business owner to be present.
Yes, I love that. And leaning from the heart is something else that I know that you wanted to speak into. And you say, again, this should be an expression of your Christian faith. If you look back over the years that you have been a leader and obviously overseeing team, and let's face it, we as a leader, I mean, my definition is really influencing those around us. And we can certainly do that even in the church environment if we're leading a team of youth. Has your approach to leadership changed over the years? And what are some key principles that you now follow to ensure that you really are leading from the heart?
Yeah, I think that, and I don't know whether this is true for other cultures, but certainly in the Australian culture, they can identify a fake and identify insincerity very, very easily. So for an Australian environment, I think it's very important, if you want to maintain a good relationship, that you're genuine and that you're authentic. People will forgive you a lot of your shortcomings and if you're genuine and they know that you're coming from the heart, even when you make a wrong decision. As I had alluded to, when I was leading a Christian organisation, I had to have a difficult conversation on about 10 occasions where we had a redundancy discussion, and that happened 10 times. Mm-hmm. They were all not easy discussions to have. But I could say that for all those 10 situations, I could quite happily sit down and have a coffee with all of those people. Now, why? Because I think I spoke from the heart and I was being genuine, and I built a good relationship where they didn't see that as a hard call. I mean, they recognised it was a hard call, but it was a call from the heart. Mm-hmm. And so I think heart is very important when people feel that you're being genuine, even if the news isn't bad. And I've tried to do that as much as I can, and to be totally open and honest with people and being sensitive to them.
Yeah, so, so important. So share a little bit about IntegriCare and the work that you're doing there.
Yeah, so IntegriCare is quite a unique organisation because it's got a long heritage from 1882 and very much established as a ministry. So its history is in working with young children from the very start in orphanages and hospitals, and quite a lot of work in the 40s around homeless men and pregnant single women. And in the 70s, the organisation decided that it would make a commitment to a Christian ministry in early learnings and what was known back then as childcare.
Mm-hmm.
The industry has changed a lot since then, and therefore we refer to it as very much early education. And so it's very much about establishing those principles and working with children as their brains develop before they go to school. As they get to the year before school, we prepare them for the challenges and that come with that. And that's more about developing them as young people and children. So the unique challenge of IntegriCare is that most people on staff, and we have over 200 people on the payroll, would not necessarily identify as being Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So we have educators and we welcome these people and we love them and we encourage them as much as we can to just continue doing what they do. And so our commitment to parents is that they're paying fees for early learning, and we want to deliver exceptional early learning and excellent early learning. Now, obviously, we do that with a Christian worldview,
mm-hmm.
but we feel that it's honourable from a Christian point of view to deliver on what they've paid for. So in a sense, it's no different to when I was selling a coffee across the counter. I need to do that with excellence. I need to deliver a great coffee because that's what they paid for. So we've got Hindu, we've got Buddhist, we've got Muslim educators in our Christian organisation. As long as they feel comfortable with our Christian ethos, then they're welcome to deliver excellent education. And we've very much, our Christian ID is very clear. The way that we develop our culture is one that we're still a work in progress, but it is not uncommon in the corridors of our centres and in our main office to have God conversations, to have a devotional time, to share scripture with each other. And we do that amongst people who are on different parts of their journey.
I love that. And, you know, so often as Christians, when we look at, the commission in the Bible, we so often think that that's from the pulpit, you know, in church. And, of course, that plays a very important role. However, we all have the ability to be ambassadors for Christ and to show his love in how we show up, the conversations we have and how we lead. And, of course, in consistently delivering excellence with integrity to our customers. And
absolutely.
Nothing speaks louder than words through doing that. And nothing speaks louder than words when we fail to do that. And it's such a great reminder. So for people who are listening today that want to find out a little bit more about IntegriCare, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so just go to our website. We've got a number of social mediums, but our website, integricare.org.au. And you'll find out about our mission and our values and where we're located. So we seek to work with churches. So our strategy is to work off the back of churches to find a bridge into a community, a soft entry into a community, and therefore providing a way that they can minister to their local community. And so early learning is a great way of doing that.
Yeah, fantastic. And, of course, we'll put all of those details on our show notes as well, ambitiousentrepreneurnetwork.com/TCE277, and those details will be there. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by podcastingwithpurpose.com. Stand out, be heard, influence. Want to influence real change with your own podcast? Access our free podcast training, including no-cost and low-cost tools and podcast production workflow checklist, to get you started at podcastingwithpurpose.com/mini-training. That's podcastingwithpurpose.com/mini-training.